Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read one verse and then I'll have you sit. We are in our series this card and the series, we are in the third sermon, Trouble in Jerusalem. So this is from Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, and then we are going to go over to verse 13. And read down to verse 23 by the end of the message today. So the first part is one verse, Matthew 2 and verse 3. Read it together with me and we'll count and start. Ready? Verse 3, we'll go 1, 2, 3, start. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Notice this. This man, in history, we know he was a powerful man. He was appointed to be the governor for the area. Actually, the Jews called him the king of the Jews. And he was Arab from Idumea, but he practiced Judaism. He was ruthless. He was powerful. He was an engineer, an architect. He oversaw the building of aqueducts, Masada. Maybe some of you know that tower in the desert on the east part. He had a Jewish temple built. Herod's temple was the temple that Christ visited. But he was also a murderer. He murdered two of his 10 wives. And several of his 10 wives and two of his sons and many rabbis. And the Caesar had a saying, it would be better to be a pig in Israel than to be one of Herod's sons. Why did he say that? Because the Jews didn't eat pork. So you had a better chance of surviving if you were a pig than if you were one of Herod's sons. This man heard about the birth of the king of the Jews from the wise men that traveled from the east, and he was troubled. And then what happened? All the city of Jerusalem was troubled also. The leader was troubled, and it came to the people. The people were troubled. What kind of trouble was that? Where did that trouble come from? Was that demonic? We are thinking today, especially in light of what happened tragically the other day in Connecticut, of natural life, psychological sickness, madness, and then plus demonic activity. The devil is a murderer and a liar. And a mentally sick person, perhaps Herod also. They say he was a madman. Perhaps he was mentally sick, but in any case, he was also inspired by evil. There's two Greek words, kakos and poneros. Kakos is like generally bad. It's a broader word, but poneros is a malignant evil, an evil that grows, an evil that is aggressive, an evil that communicates. Herod was troubled. He was an evil man. And the city was also troubled. All right, you may be seated. Well, we hope to be a helper of your joy this morning as we read this portion of Scripture and consider God's work in the world. We were caroling last night. We had a group of seven or eight of us, and we went to my neighborhood, another neighborhood that we used to live in, and then another neighborhood. We had such a great time. So we knocked on the door and started to sing. People felt sorry for us. I realize how much people respond to weakness. It was a beautiful time. One of my neighbors, who I have little contact with, but he stepped out the door, he listened, he started to weep, and then he hugged me, and he whispered in my ear, he said, "You have no idea the timing of this and how much I need this." Then after we sang the song, we gave a short message, and the message was this: we have two births. First birth is natural, and we die. Then we have a spiritual birth by believing in Christ. When we believe in Christ, we are born of the Spirit. And in God's world, there is no death. There is no sin. But in our first birth, we have death and we have sin. And we must be born again. At one door, we said this, and there were two students standing on the porch. And the man said to me, he looked at me like amazed. I mean, he said, thank you very much, thank you. He said it a number of times. And I shared with him, we have a natural man and we die, but if we are born again, we shall never die by believing in Christ. I said, would you like to believe in Christ? He said, yes, I would. But I'm Jewish. Is that okay? I said, it's better. Then I said to his girlfriend, are you Jewish also? She said, yes. And I said, would you like to believe in Christ? She said, yes, I would. We shared for a few minutes, and I wonder, of course, how the whole thing works, like we do whenever we share our faith. How does it work? It is God. We sow the seed, and it's God that gives the seed life. It's God that is born in a person's heart. It is God's kingdom on the earth to be born again and to be a child of God. This is the kingdom is here. This is why Christ came. The story that we're about to read is a story that is perhaps repeated over and over again in life. You have an evil man. You have a city that is troubled. We could say that in our day, it's interesting to me how much our technology has taken us. Have you ever thought about it? We could draw a picture of it like this on the screen, like a graph. And the technology and the increase of incredible technological advancement and discovery. But then look at the heartache and the pain of the precious families in Connecticut. The same murder that we saw recently a few days ago happened here in Bethlehem by the King Herod when he ordered for all the children 2 years and under to be killed by his driven madness, his jealousy, insecurity, that one called the King of the Jews would be born in Bethlehem. Perhaps it happened right under my nose. And he was very angry and he ordered for this murder to happen. One of the lies of the age we live in is that man is improving, increasing, that his society, our organization, quality of life, many ways there is an advancement, but there's something that is steadily constant, and it doesn't change. And that's the human heart. The human heart, the need for God, the sin that is in man. Nobody can change this. It does not happen by process of time. It does not happen by education or by our culture. We had two major world wars in the most sophisticated civilization in the history of the world, in Europe. Two world wars. Under communism, perhaps 100 million innocent people killed by a political system that was atheistic. All of this to say that we praise God for our new birth, our spiritual life, and the progress that we make individually. In the beginning of time, we could say there was a man, and his name was Enoch, and he, I don't know if you can see that dot, can you? There it is. Enoch walked with God. He was very advanced as a person, as is anybody who fears God, walks with God by faith, learns the grace and the character of God, and he is an advanced person. He is enlightened. When Jesus came, he came to an ancient world, but he is the most unique person that has ever lived, for he was God incarnate, and his disciples, those simple fishermen, were also advanced people. We could say something like this. Advancement in a spiritual way. Because really, there's two possibilities. Me in my flesh, and in a fallen world, driven by my jealousy, my anger, my emotion, my insecurity, my paranoia, my confidence, my pride, my arrogance. And the other one is the new birth. The new birth, we have the mind of Christ. The new birth, we have doctrine. In the new birth, we have the nature of God, partakers of the divine nature that is born in you, Christ born in you, born a child of God. God is your Father. And all of these people through time are making up God's people, God's body, Israel in the Old Testament. And not all Israel is Israel. And then the church in the New Testament. All right, so now let's read chapter 2, verse 13. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Herod has murder in his mind. He's a controller and manipulator. Why did he kill his wives? Because he didn't trust them. Why did he kill two of his sons? Because he didn't trust them. And why will he try to kill the baby? Because he has no competitor. He is driven. God knows this. But there's a mystery that is at work in the story. It's Proverbs 22, verse 4. I'd like you to listen to it. By humility is riches and honor in life. Let me repeat it. By humility is riches and honor in life. In our story, we have two humble people. Who are they? Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph are on a mission. They're interesting. Both of them are of the seed of David. One through one son of David, Nathan. Another one through another son of David, and that was Solomon. I believe it was Mary came through Solomon, and Joseph came through Nathan. Both of them are the seed of David. As the prophet said to David, that from your seed will come a king, and he shall reign forever. But Joseph wasn't the real father. He was the foster father. He was the father that didn't have any sexual relation with Mary, and he knew this. Of course he knew this. And when this little baby came into his family, when this little baby grew up and was 2 and 3 and 5 and 6 years old, Joseph knew that I am providing a home for this little boy who is not really mine. How much Joseph knew what was really happening, we don't know, because he's not quoted. There's not much said about Joseph. And later in Christ's life, Joseph isn't anywhere around. But we could say for sure God chose him, that he had favor, just as Mary had great favor to bring Christ into the world. I say that because maybe somebody here is a foster father. You're taking care of a child in your home that isn't yours, but you take it as a calling. You take it as a mission. You take it as a plan, the plan. Be a servant, to help, to serve, to love, to pray, to instruct, and to guide. In the story, evil is bubbling, evil is moving, but so is God. This is important. Evil is on the move, and God is on the move too. And he gives Joseph, the head of the family, a dream. Take the child, go down into Egypt. And he arose, took the child, verse 14, and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I love it how much the Bible fulfills the Bible. How could we not believe in such a record? You have prophecy, and then it is fulfilled. Prophecy, and then hundreds of years later, precisely fulfilled. We don't have time to go into it, but a computer scientist by the name of Peter Stoner did an evaluation of 8 prophecies using probabilities for this to happen by chance. 8 prophecies, and he chose 8 that Christ could never fulfill by himself. For example, he'd be born in Bethlehem. Christ could not have engineered that, where you are born. That he'd be pierced through his hands and feet. Christ did not engineer that. For in Jewish law, capital punishment was by stoning. But in Roman law, capital punishment was by crucifixion. When did crucifixion come into history? The Persians started it in 300 BC. When did David say the Messiah would be pierced through his hands and feet? What year? David prophesied 950 BC, somewhere around there. Hundreds of years before crucifixion. But it was fulfilled precisely. The fact he was sold for 30 pieces of silver was not determined by Christ. It was determined by the priests and Judas. But he fulfilled that precisely. The day he would die, for Daniel chapter 9, 27, 25 to 27, in many specific prophecies, we could go into it in detail. It's very convincing. And this is what the scientists said. The chances of these 8 prophecies being fulfilled by accident or coincidence is the same. It's a huge number. The number is given there. And he said it's the same as covering Texas with silver dollars the same square mileage of a silver dollar, 2 feet deep, taking one of them, coloring it black or whatever, making it different, throwing it in Texas somewhere, having somebody go into Texas and pick up one coin. Picking up that one coin is the same chances of Christ fulfilling eight of the prophecies, that happening by chance. Of course, we are convinced, and the more you study it, the more you just say you worship Him. You say, this is God's Word, God's plan. Joseph and Mary, by humility, are riches. How did Mary and Joseph get riches? But by the king's coming, gave them gold and frankincense. Maybe that's how they were able to live in Egypt for a while, and till Herod died, undoubtedly. But by humility, God has a way. Riches and honor. We're talking about Joseph and Mary today, and as they are in heaven, and as we know as believers, they are honorable people. We honor them. By humility is the unfolding plan of God. God's plan. God's way. But evil is there too. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the area, the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. When we were in Israel, we would go to Bethlehem every trip, and we would stand there and think about what it looked like in the time of Christ. We would go out a little bit from the town to where there are caves there, and they showed us a cave that maybe was looking something like where Mary and Joseph were when the baby was born, and the shepherds being there, and Ruth, who came centuries earlier from the other side of the Jordan, from Moab. And you can envision it and see it. And then you go to the place of the Holy Sepulchre there, the nativity scene, the place, and because Helen, the queen of the Greek Empire at that time, she had churches built over these holy sites to keep them from thieves and from being defamed or degraded. So there's a big church there, and you go inside and you go to the place where probably Christ was when he was born. And you can imagine it. How many children were in Bethlehem at that time? We asked the guide, and he really didn't know. But could imagine how many children were slain. 30, 50, small town, under 2 years of age, was in the area. And you can imagine the weeping and the sorrow of innocent children being murdered. Evil. Evil is more than just an accident or something bad happened. In the Greek language, you have different words for this. Something bad happens or a mistake. But evil, this is the defined mind and plan of evil. Intelligent, calculated planning. I would say that the world, we know the devil is the evil one who is the world ruler. Cosmocrator is the Greek word. He is the world leader, the world ruler, and he is a spirit that is fallen. And he has a host of fallen angels that are now demons that are in the atmosphere in this world. And they cause trouble, strife, war, famine, problems, corruption, and murder and lying is part of his strategy. Could he take a mentally sick person and influence them? Could evil influence a man that is mentally sick? Sure. Perhaps that is what happened the other day. This is something we are willing to look at and think about, and look at it from biblical viewpoint. Christ came into an evil world, and he was God, but becoming a man, he became vulnerable because he had flesh and blood like we have, and flesh and blood that has a heartbeat and blood pressure, flesh and blood that is just like our flesh and blood. And it was like the devil could target him, could recognize him. The angels did. And couldn't the demonic world of evil know, target, understand, and inspire a king to murder him? Yes. But by humility is riches, honor, and life. And God gave a dream to the father. Take him to Egypt. He went, stayed there, came up out of Egypt, and went to Galilee. In verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. It's good when a bad man dies. Wow, it's over. Thank God he's gone. You might say, well, that's not right. Well, there's a time when evil, when a man and the evil are one. The deception, the fallen nature, and the nature of the man being demonic. As happened with Hitler, Mao, Stalin, many evil leaders, it happens to them. Maybe because of their position. Maybe simply by something we don't understand. The willingness to believe a lie. The willingness to act in evil. But their days are numbered. Christ came and told us that in John 14, he said, the hour is coming and now is. It is the power of darkness. He knew that the evil was coming for him. He knew the timing. But it couldn't happen until that time. This is amazing. The devil wanted to take Christ out, but could not do it. Luke 4 was one time. They wanted to take him out, but could not do it until the exact time. It had to happen on a certain day, and it had to happen a certain way, according to the prophecies. It is not yet my time, John 7. But now it is the time. And who kills him but evil? The power of evil. Acts 2, verse 23. Evil hands take the perfect, innocent Son of God, who is infinitely God and also a man at the same time, to become the atonement for our sin, the Savior of the world, as the prophet said, as Elizabeth sang, as Mary sang, as Simeon prophesied, as Anna prophesied, as the shepherds witnessed when the angels said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. For unto us a son is born in the house of David. Go and see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds just went off and they found and they saw and they worshipped. There's an application of this for us too. That we are also in this world. And evil can target us. It's true. But we have many great promises about it. Psalm 37. The value of humility. It seems like humility was a covering for these people, Mary and Joseph. It seems that they are believing, they are trusting, and there's a covering for them. And when they're in Egypt, another dream comes. I don't have dreams myself, but I have the Bible. I don't have a lot of dreams that I could trust in. Dreams come from a multitude of business. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. Not all dreams are from God. I'm sure you know that. They come from the process of everyday life. It's a natural function of our being. But God chose, He spoke in many different ways at different times. Hebrews 1, verse 1. But now He has spoken unto us by His Son. Now we have the Scripture. That is why we read it, meditate on it, think about it, and listen to it. It guides us. Your Word is the guide. Your Word guides our footsteps. Order my steps according to Your Word. Psalm 119, 133. Mark the perfect man. Mark Psalm 37, verse 37. In Egypt, Joseph has another dream. Go back. Let's read it. Verse 20, is it 19? When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the child and his mother, go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother, came into the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, the room of the father Herod, of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Now it was standing, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. God's guidance. That's beautiful, important to us. I believe those children went to be with Christ the other day on Friday. I'm very sad that their life was cut so short. I'm sad for their parents, and I hope that they will be comforted, understanding something regarding our faith and the work of God. We don't understand it, of course, in one way. On the other hand, we are in a place to look at it without those strong feelings and think about it and look at Christ and what is going on at His birth, what happened to those children, what God is doing. And we can say that if by God's grace we are humble, submitted to God, and receiving from God, He will take care of us. Psalm 91, under the shadow of the Almighty, we abide in the high and holy place under the shadow of the Almighty. That God sets us on high, verse 14, those that set their love upon Him, I will set them on high. I will keep you from the path of the destroyer. There are destroyers out there. But I don't believe that they can touch us. They can target us. It has to be by God's sovereign will. And yet also we find ourselves escaping, being delivered from, maybe even not knowing more of that. I don't even know what kind of evil I have been delivered from. Just like Mary and Joseph, they went down into Egypt, and when it was time, they went back, and then they knew where to settle. They knew where to live. There was a divine covering. By humility is riches and honor in life. Protection. A covering. I believe the local assembly is a vehicle of covering, a way God has ordained to bless us. I believe that living by faith in what God says in the Word is a covering for us and a guidance in an evil world. I believe that there is real evil. Remember when Ronald Reagan said, called the Koreans and the Russians an evil empire? Anybody remember that? Evil empire. And the press would say, oh, how can you say such a thing? We are trying to develop international policy of understanding and cooperation, and you're calling an empire evil. And he's going, you got that right. I am. You murder your own in it. You murder your own citizens. You lie and cheat, and you're atheistic, and you propagate atheism. I call it evil. That's what he did. And my, that is refreshing. When anybody gets biblical and doctrinal and solid in their thinking, we're not like putting things under the carpet, but we're able to look at them and say, God, what do you say? Herod murdered these children. God, what do you say? And God said, it is true. There's an evil world, but look again at the story. There's two humble people carrying Christ. Christ, the Savior. Christ that hangs on a cross. Christ that is raised from the dead. Christ that comes into the hearts of people that believe in Him. Christ, the answer to the world. Christ, my Son. Christ is at my right hand, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore in Psalm 16:11. Look again at the story. We say, yes, Lord, it is painful. There is the crying and the weeping in Ramah, for Rachel has lost her children in verse 18 and 19. But, Lord, God, I got another question. What about hell? God will say, I want you to read Mark 9, 45, 47, 43. God could say to your heart, I want you to look at the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to show you places. I want you to look at Revelation 20. Now I want to teach you. I want you to understand me. I don't want anybody. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I don't want anybody to go there. I gave my Son for all people everywhere, for the whole world. I gave my Son that anybody, anywhere, at any time could turn to me, believe and trust, and I save them by my grace totally and completely. But I want you to take a look at this, and do you understand that a person can pass into eternity without Christ, and there's nothing I can do with them? They are what they are forever and ever. And we say, Lord, I wish it wasn't like that. And God could say, but you don't understand the whole picture. You see through a glass darkly, and you don't understand, but I guarantee you, I would not have given my Son if it hadn't been necessary. I would not have been incarnated if it wasn't critically important. I wouldn't have come and humbled. I'm a humble God, always infinitely so, but I would have no need to come to the human race in this kind of humiliation unless it had been absolutely necessary. And in my world, it was absolutely necessary for me to be satisfied with my own justice so that I could pour mercy out upon you abundantly. What does this mean? Like, how much do we understand? This is why coming here to this section, this portion, and asking the questions and thinking about it, how we get a little bit of a picture. I'm hoping you get a little bit this morning and get an idea and understanding that out there in that world, it hits us every once in a while. When we were going door to door last night singing, I could feel or sense, at least in some families, there's not the peace. There's anxiety in our country. There is worry. There is a fear. Maybe it's increasing. Maybe because in the end days, men's hearts will fail them. There's more suicide now than ever in the history of the recorded history of the human race. There are people that are worried and afraid. And we got to say, let's get over this part of our message and go into this great part of the message and emphasize it. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let the blind lead the blind. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Let the blind lead the blind. They both will fall in a ditch. And maybe one of them will struggle out and humble himself before God and say, God, help me. Maybe. We don't have all the answers for this crazy world. And look at how it is going. But we have one answer that is critically powerful. And that is this person born in Bethlehem. Nobody like him. Nobody who ever did anything can even touch. And we see it only like just barely. We just kind of see it like through the lattice like this. We see Christ like in understanding this. It is amazing. If this is true, if this is the Christ, if that man on the cross is the Christ, if that tomb is empty, if you believed in him and you are born of Christ, you are born of God, if you have eternal life, if that is true, if this book is the Word of God, then you and I have a message and a ministry to the people around us. You and I have something to do in this world. You and I are on a mission. Mary and Joseph were on one, and you and I, we're on a mission. We're here for some reason. We're here to save something, do some, represent somebody. We're here empowered by the Holy Spirit of God with words in season. One man, and I'll finish. Did I mention it? I don't remember at 9 or this one, but my neighbor across the street, did I say that? And he whispered in my ear, and he said, you don't know the timing. Thank you. And he sobbed. He said, thank you. You have no idea how much I need this. We're not much, you know, right? Just standing there in front of, you know, singing a little bit. You and I, we have a word in season. Mary and Joseph, I'm sure they didn't think we're not much. But by humility is riches and honor and life. And this world needs our love, our prayers, our counsel, our encouragement, our mission, our vision, our Sunday school. How many kids with skateboards that are 14 years old, dressed in black, hanging out at the street corner, need some young man to go up to and say, what are you doing? What's going on? What's happening? Where are you at? What do you think's happening here? Maybe 16 or 18 years old, and just a word in season, and you don't know. A word that is sown, and then God gives the increase. That's His work. We see it in the story. Let evil be what it is. God has that under control. That is what it is. But I will not pay much attention to it. I can't be overly occupied with that. I need to be occupied with the important thing and make my way as God orders our steps in His divine purpose for our lives. Let's get busy with it in a good way. Loving our kids. I was tempted the other night not to pay it so much attention, but God is speaking to my heart. Pay attention. I am with you. Trust me. Pay attention. Wake up. I am with you. I am with you. Listen to me. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll help you. I'll do it, because I'm God. Pray with me, please. Father, first we pray a prayer for those families up there in Connecticut, and pour your mercy, grace, encouragement, please. The one having the hardest time. People are all different, but somebody may be just incredibly crushed, probably all of them, but we just pray for anybody who's just pour your help, your covering, your blessing, and lead them to Christ, and encourage them and heal them. And then anyone here in the auditorium and on the internet today, we are not much of anything by ourselves, but we are honored by God. We are honored. His hand is with each and every one that believes and trusts in Him. Would you trust Him today, first time in your life? I mean, with all your heart, to be your Savior. That He died on the cross. Say, Jesus, You died on the cross, and I believe in You. You were raised from the dead, and I believe in You. Would you say that prayer? I believe in You, Jesus Christ. Raise your hand in the auditorium, anyone at all, saying that prayer for the first time in your heart, to be born again, to be a child of God. There was someone this morning, and then right now, anyone? I think there is someone right here in the back. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen.